our admin team doesn't exactly know what's going on, but the last time we met with the campus team, because the Cardinals had miraculously finished the regular season and made it into the playoffs, we had a complete day of jubilee. You could come late. Robert was actually 37 minutes late, and there was no penalties. So the campus team have become rabid baseball fans now. When I walked in this morning, a few of them already knew that the Cardinals had won. So that's, I appreciate that. However, we will have to follow the rules a little closer, unfortunately, because we got this other group with us. So it's a good thing you're on time, Robert, because I'm definitely watching you now. Dexter, glad you can make it with us. Just grab a seat anywhere you want. Good to see you. Good to see you. Well, we're excited to be together. This is kind of a different experience, isn't it? How do you, everybody feel good about it? You okay with this, May? Really? Okay, just want to make sure everybody's here. Cricket, are you okay with it? Well, we're glad you have your chair for your purses, so. Oh, thank you, Otto. Even though we're totally jammed and every seat is a premium, but as long as your purses have a place to sit, we're all happy. Well, we're excited to have Alex back with us, aren't we? Effective people management is going to be our topic. So we're excited to have you, Alex. Thank you for coming back. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, come on down.
Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
I was told this is a mixed group, so I thought I'm not sure how well you know one another. What I want to do is, the people in your table is your team, okay? So will you look at one another and say, I'm glad to be in this team. Okay. Some of you are not very glad to be in that team. I will give you 5 minutes, and 5 minutes only, to do the following. I want you to get to know your teammates as much as possible. There are five questions. What is your name? What do you do in victory? How long have you been in the ministry and your job? Say something unique about yourself. And what do you expect to get from this workshop? All right?
Five. Most everybody sat at the table with their team members, so they didn't mix.
Okay, then I will give.
Oil and vinegar, we're in the same container, but we're definitely.
All right, then I'll give them only 2 minutes. You could do 4 and 5 at least. All right, ready? 2 minutes, go. All right. Let me ask a few questions. Who is the longest in the ministry or job? Anybody? Longest. How many years? 16 years. Anybody longer than 16 years? No? Okay. What about the job? Longest in the job? Is that ministry and job?
Ministry.
Okay. Longest in the job? 8 years? 10 years? 10 years? Okay. All right. 14 years? Yeah, come on. You must have started when you were 3. No, no kidding. 14 years? 1-4?
97.
Okay. Wow. All right. Most unique uniqueness. Anybody? In your table.
It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Hey, to right. You.
Happy birthday, Glenn. Other uniquenesses. Leap year baby, all right. Anyone else?
Grew up in Nigeria.
Grew up in Nigeria. Wow. How come? Where? Parents where? Amazing. All right, that's pretty unique. Uniqueness. She's pregnant. Okay. All right. Expectations from the workshop. This is half day today, one whole day next week. Expectations. What do you expect to learn?
A lot.
Okay. A lot. Specifics. This is people management. Anything specific you expect?
To be effective in people management.
I like this class. All right. Okay, well, let's get on with it. I have entitled it Six Ways to Become a Better People Manager. Okay? Six Ways to Become a Better People Manager. And when typically when you talk about people management, it's like how to be nicer to people, touchy-feely kind of topics. I'll tell you, in my experience, you can memorize Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, and you will not be an effective people manager. Okay? And in my experience, I've learned that it takes a lot more. Now, being nice, a Dale Carnegie type, being a John Maxwell type, those are important, and those are part of it, but only a part of it. Those books were written presuming a lot of other things, and I would like to share with you some of those things that those literature have presumed. It really involves a lot of structure and process. If you were in the GM mindset class, you are familiar with structure, process, and people. Okay, this is people management, but people management actually presumes a lot of structure and process. Okay. I have six ways to become a better people manager, but we will only deal with five, because the second one, number two, as you will see later on, we've dealt with in the last seminars. Okay. Some possible attitudes. I work in the spiritual realm. Why do I need to learn how to manage people? Isn't that too earthy? Well, folks, we are not off the earth, but we are in the earth, and we have to deal with earthy things, like people management. People who work for the Lord ought not to be so fussy about this stuff, right? Wrong. I mean, because God's business is people. Things are managed, people are led, period. With all due respect to our wonderful speaker in one of the gatherings earlier this year. Well, you know, people are managed too. I mean, how many of you are married people? Okay. Do you know the hot buttons of your spouse? And do you try to avoid getting into those hot button areas? That's management. Okay? That is management. And you are better people managers than you think. Okay? Having survived your marriages so far. Anybody who is a parent? Okay? I mean, the first people managers are parents. And so people management is not a bad thing. It is a very important thing. And we need to, I'm glad that your team wants you to learn this, because it is something that is very important and it will make us more effective in the ministry. Okay. Some questions. Can you be a good leader in any job without good people management or supervisory skills? There are many leaders who do not have good management skills. On the other hand, can you be a good manager or supervisor if you do not have leadership skills? There are many managers, and I've worked for many of them, unfortunately, who had lousy leadership skills. We were managed to death or near death. Okay? And so what is important is we are leaders, but we need to learn some techniques on people management or supervision. Speaking about supervision, manager, and leader, is there a difference? What is a supervisor? What is a manager? What is a leader? Is there a difference? In my opinion, the overlap is so much that there is hardly any difference. So let's bust the myth. Webster's dictionary says, supervision is the critical watching or directing of activities or a course of action. Webster says, management is the conducting or supervising of something, the judicious use of means to accomplish an end. And Webster says, leadership is the capacity to direct on a course or in a direction. As you can see, there's tremendous overlap. And the reason why there's tremendous overlap is in any of these functions, you deal with people. And every time you deal with people, it's almost the same. The requirements are the same. Essentially, you cannot be good in any one, supervision, management, leadership, unless you are good in all. Okay? If you want to be a good leader, you must learn how to manage people and how to supervise people. And if you want to become a good manager of people or a good supervisor of people, you must know how to lead people. Okay. The corporate definition goes like this. Supervisors and managers, while varying in scope or magnitude, both have the same basic function, which is PLOC, to plan, to lead, to organize, and control. Supervisor generally refers to lower levels of management, while manager, director, or vice president refers to higher levels of management. In the corporate world, there is rank and file, and then first-line supervisor. From first-line supervisor to the CEO, you're management. Okay? From first-line supervisor to CEO, you are management. And so when we have management meetings, supervisors and up are included. If you want only middle managers and up, you specify it in the meeting invitation. But the point is, it's all the same. Also, supervisor, in concept, can be at a very high level. When I was president of Del Monte Philippines, the supervisor, my supervisor, was the chairman of the board. Okay, so the chairman of the board was a supervisor. Who did he supervise? The president. So some leaders would feel that supervision, that's for supervisors. Yeah, that's right. But presidents need a supervisor. Senior pastors need a supervisor. Steve needs a supervisor. Okay, I mean, supervisor is a very generic concept. For as long as someone is reporting or responsible to you, you supervise. Okay, for as long as someone is reporting to you or is responsible to you, you supervise. You might say, Alex, in our organization, no one reports to me. Sure, but do you disciple people? If you disciple somebody, someone is responsible, you are supervising somebody. Okay? So it's very important to learn supervision. And as I mentioned, you know, parents are the first supervisors. And it's a pity that too many parents don't know how to supervise or don't know how to vary their supervision styles. At the corporate definition of leaders is that leaders are supervisors and managers who, by virtue of their position alone, exercise authority over people under them. Okay? If you have a position of leadership, then you're a leader. Okay? On the other hand, the other definition, the higher definition, is supervisors or managers whose position, track record, attitude, and relational skills elicit such respect from people that they exercise remarkable influence over them. Leadership by position is the classic definition. But leadership through influence is the new definition, okay? As you will see later on. Supervision and management is, there are many examples of supervisors and managers in the Bible, okay? Adam was the first manager. He was in charge of the garden, okay? He was not a farmer, mind you. We only began to till after the sin. Prior to that, we just cultivated and we just plucked fruit from trees and ate them. So he was the manager of the garden. Okay, he was in charge of the garden. He was cultivator. He was overseer. Joseph was COO to Pharaoh. He was charged with building food inventories in preparation for the anticipated famine. He was probably the first supply chain, Department of Trade, Department of Finance, and what have you, bureaucrat that we know of in the Bible. Moses was the leader of the Israelites. Now, here's a good example of a good leader who was a bad manager. Okay? If you know the story, he was burning himself out. Okay? Fortunately for him, his father-in-law was a management consultant. Okay? Mr. Jethro told him, "Look, kid, you're messing this up. You see, you can't do everything. You have to delegate. You see, you have to choose people who are responsible so they will judge, they will deal with the issues, the minor issues. And the major issues that these folks can't handle, they delegate upwards to you." So Moses was a great leader, but a lousy manager. Hello? I mean, I can relate to that. Either way, good leader, lousy manager, good manager, lousy leader. So he needed management help, and he got it from his father-in-law. Jethro was the first management consultant we know of in the Bible. That's why in our foundation, we called it the Jethro Foundation, because our goal was to help churches in their operation. Daniel was a technocrat and bureaucrat par excellence, okay? In Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom during the Babylonian captivity. Now, Daniel was a great manager. How do we know that? Well, when his enemies tried to put him down, they tried to look for holes in his performance as a bureaucrat and a manager. And the Bible says they could not find fault. He was outstanding. He kept meeting his objectives. So, of course, they found fault only in his faith. But Daniel was an outstanding manager and supervisor. And of course, the servants in the parable of the talents. Three servants with varying degrees of entrepreneurial and management abilities. What's the point? The point is this. God expects you and me to be good managers. Okay? Because the funny thing about God is, you know, he doesn't need us. He could do everything himself. He could preach the gospel himself. He could fund missionaries himself. But funny thing about God, he chooses to work through you and me. Okay? We are God's business managers. So we better be good managers. Okay? That's the whole issue there. Now, so as a pastor or church admin worker or missionary, campus missionary, why do I need to be a good people manager? I just picked a few verses for you. Number one, to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, in whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We honor God, which is part of our mission. We honor God by being excellent in what we do. And that includes management of people. So to glorify God. Number two, to maximize the effectiveness of the few workers in the harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. We dare not mismanage the workers in the harvest that God has put under our charge. And we know that. I mean, for every 10,000 people who go on short-term missionary trips, only 100 become missionaries. There are not enough workers in the harvest. And so as supervisors, as managers of these workers in the harvest, we must be excellent.
because our resources are limited. Okay? God is unlimited, but he chooses to give us limited resources so that we work with him and through his power. Number three, to be a good steward of resources put under our care. See, when the master returned, he had a meeting with the servants and he said, okay, show me. Okay? He made them settle accounts with him. He held them accountable. Okay? So we will be held accountable for how well we manage the resources, including human resources, God put under our charge. And finally, to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:15 to 16. We are to make the most of our time because the days are evil. In other words, if God's people don't become efficient and good managers, Satan scores, okay? Because the days are evil. So we must be good managers because we need to redeem the time. You know, God wants us to be good time managers, and we'll deal with that next week. So why should I be a good people manager? Well, bottom line is this. If there was one true people business, church is it. Okay? God's business is people. And we are privileged to be part of his management team. Okay? And so we need to preoccupy ourselves to study to become better people managers because it is a people business. It's a people business. So, conclusion. There are leaders who lack management or people management skills. Agree or disagree? There are managers, on the other hand, who lack leadership skills. Okay? Either way, the individual has tremendous upside potential to either maximize his influence or her influence over the people or his or her contribution to the organization. Leaders who lack management skills will burn their people out because they will be so charismatic. They will have so much power to influence people to follow them. If they don't manage their people well, their people will burn out. And by the way, the leaders will burn out as well. Okay? There are managers who are so good at managing, they will kill their people through overmanagement. Okay? And they will not allow development. They won't allow the freedom. And as a result, the organization will not benefit from the collective strengths of the people. Either way, it is critical that you and I learn to become better supervisors, managers, or leaders. There is a Japanese proverb that goes like this. Trees die from the top. Say it with me. Trees die from the top. Okay? It's a botanical law. Okay? Roots are the last to go. That's why if you've ever tended a garden, which my hobby now is my garden, okay? And I'm having a great time because there is free water, okay? So I don't have to water my garden too much. And the grass is green and the plants are robust, okay? In the summer, the grass goes brown. And I feel it. I'm really down, you know? But you know what? When the rains come back, it becomes green again. You know why? Because the roots are the last to go. Because trees die from the top. Okay? In Del Monte, we have a 17,000 hectare plantation. If we want to know if the plants are healthy or sick, we just go to the plantation and look at the tip of the plants, the top. If the tip of the plants are green, then the pineapple is robust and healthy. If they're brownish, then it's sick, and it will die if we don't do something about it. Because trees die from the top, okay? Now, that proverb applies very much to human organizations as well. Human organizations die from the top. As the leader goes, so goes the organization. The effectiveness and survival of an organization depends on the effectiveness of its leaders. Trees die from the top. We dare not die as leaders. We have to cultivate, we have to be robust in our skills in management and leadership, because a lot depends on us. God is depending on us. I don't know why, you know. When I reflect, I said, Lord, why did you bother? I mean, you could do this so easy. What is this? Is this your way of fun, having fun? But, you know, I said,
okay, boss,
you're sovereign. I just submit, okay? Are you familiar with Lehman Brothers? Yes. Lehman Brothers was an old company that went bankrupt during the 2008 financial crisis. The reason why it did that is because of the mistakes of its leaders. Because of the mistake at the top, Lehman went belly up. Tens of billions of dollars of wealth evaporated. Tens of thousands of people lost their jobs overnight. Okay? In fact, when they went to try to collect their separation pay, even the retirement fund was bankrupt. Now, I spent 23 years in Del Monte. I was able to take early retirement because of a retirement benefit. Now, imagine if you spent 23 years in Lehman Brothers and the retirement fund is bankrupt. And so, you know, the rule is you're not supposed to lend too much money on the basis of your capital. Maybe you lend four times your capital, okay? They lend about 22 times their capital. And so they were overextended, and they collapsed. One of my favorite leadership books is entitled Spiritual Leadership by Henry Blackaby. If you have not read that book, well, shame on you, you should read that book, okay? I loved it. The principle is very simple. Leadership, sabi niya, spiritual leadership is bringing people from their agenda to God's agenda. Now, in that book, he says, society longs for statesmen, but it only gets politicians. Okay, and we can relate to that, right? In the workplace, in the ministry, it's the same. People who work for us, they long to work for leaders, but mostly all they get are bosses. Okay? And by the way, there are two types of bosses. The tyrant, there are two extremes, and the popularity seeker. Sorry. The tyrant and the popularity seeker. I just messed it up. What happened? On the one hand, the tyrant is the leader who cares about results and not too much about relationships. Couldn't care less. I just want it done. The popularity seeker is a people person. Real nice guy, nice lady. The priority is relationships, not results. In either extreme, it's bad. Okay? You could be a nice manager and your department is not producing the results. That's not tenable. Or you could be a results-producing leader, but your whole team is devastated emotionally, if physically, mentally. Okay. Jim Collins calls this the tyranny of the or, O-R. And many people labor under the idea that I can only be a tyrant or a popularity seeker. And so Jim Collins says we must subvert the tyranny of the or and embrace the genius of the end. I can be results-oriented and still be relational. Okay. I can be people-oriented and still be productivity-driven. Okay. You can be both by becoming a better leader, by becoming a better people manager. Okay. So subvert the tyranny of the or, embrace the genius of the end. I will give you I'll make a 5-second survey. This is private and personal, okay? You only have 5 seconds to answer two questions. I'll give you 5 seconds each on these two questions, okay? I will ask you to rank something and someone on a scale of 10, in the scale of 10. 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, okay? And I just want you to write or remember, better write, okay, the answer. Now, by the way, are you seated beside your direct supervisor? Anyone seated beside his or her direct supervisor? Okay. Make sure you cover your answer. Okay? Are you ready? Question number 1. There are only 2 questions and you only have 5 seconds to answer. Question number 1. In a scale of 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, rate the department in which you work. 10 is the greatest department. 1, I want out of here. Okay? The amount of commitment, the amount of fun, how productive the department is, how successful it is in meeting its goals. Scale of 10. 1, lousy. 10, excellent. Okay? 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Time's up, okay? You have that number? Okay. Next. In a scale of 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. Rate the leader of the department. Rate the leader of the department. How good a leader is he or she? How lousy a leader is he or she? 1, lousy. 10, he walks, she walks on water. 1, ought not to have been appointed to his or her job. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Time's up. Now, without telling me those two numbers, without showing those two numbers to anyone, I want you to look at those two numbers and give me a comment. What do they look like? Don't look at me. Look at the numbers. What do they look like? Very close, as in how many points difference? Same?
A matter of less than 3 points. Or, no, less than 1 point.
Less than 1 point?
Same.
2? Same? 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 Same?
Directly
proportional. What does that mean? Same? Okay. Okay? Same? Close? Same? You notice something? If you rated the department high, you tended to rate the leader high. If you rated the department low, you tended to rate the leader low. If you rated the department middling, the leader was middling. What's the point? As the leader goes, so goes the team. Okay? Now, mind you, this is impromptu, and I've done this about 70 times in seminars. The result is always the same. Okay? As the leader goes, so goes the team. Okay? So, if you're a leader and you say you're talking to your spouse or to your best friend and say, "You know what? I'm having problems with my team." Okay? I have a lousy team or I have a weak team. Well, you know, my suggestion is you go to the bathroom and look at the mirror. Because there lies the problem and the solution at the same time. Okay? As the leader goes, so goes. Now, let's bring it home. As the father goes, so goes the children. As the wife goes, so goes the husband. As the husband goes, so goes the wife. You can bring it to any relationship you want. Okay? The leader determines the quality of the team. Okay? And you know what? When I first learned that, it sent shivers down my spine. I said, wow. What lousiness have I brought to my team in the past? And God has freed me from the obligation of doing anything because I've retired. So I've just prayed for my people after I learned this principle. Okay? God have mercy on them. The greatest need
And the most underdeveloped potential in human organizations today is the potential for leadership. You can call it supervision. You can call it people management. But, you know, whether it's in business, it's an NGO, it's in churches, you name it, it's the most underdeveloped and the most critically needed factor, okay? I was running a seminar with a mall, and the question was, I told them, no, your competitors are trying to blunt your competitive edge. If you're on value, if your proposition is value and your competitor's proposition is lifestyle, your competitor is trying to expand in the value area. Meantime, you, the value proposition mall, you want to expand in the lifestyle area. So SM has the atrium, but Ayala Malls has a Gaisano extension. So, and my point was this. I said, sooner or later, you will fall into the commoditization syndrome. Okay? Because sooner or later, because of free markets, okay, products and services will be commoditized. Pare-pareho na lang lahat yan. So, what will be your competitive edge? Your competitive edge will be people. Okay? The quality of your people. Okay? How they serve people. And at the end of the day, that is driven by people management, by people supervision, by leadership. Okay? Companies like Singapore Airlines, to me, my favorite airline, which I cannot fly too often because they're also one of the most expensive airlines, is Singapore. Now, they have, you name it, they have everything. Structure, process, and people. They have structure, first-class planes. I mean, you know, I can no longer travel on business. It's too expensive, okay? So I'm on economy. But, you know, Singapore economy has its own TV set. I mean, it beats business on Delta, for example, where you watch this big screen with everyone else. So they've got excellent structure. They have excellent processes. I mean, the Changi Airport, the way they check you in, it's flawless. And then they have nice people. And I tell myself, this company is hard to beat. Okay? But you know what? There will be one airline who will get the same plane, who will install the same processes, and the only difference will be people. Okay? The only difference will be people. And so, if we are to win the hearts and minds of people, okay, we are in the people business. It's not going to be our churches. It's not going to be our worship. It's not going to be the niceness of our buildings. It'll be us. Okay? It'll be us. How well we relate to people. Okay. Therefore, how good a manager are you? Okay? And I'm going to spend the rest of the... I'll give you 10 minutes to evaluate yourself, okay? If you've never been evaluated in your life, well, welcome. We're on the exercise self-appraisal. How good a manager, people manager am I, okay? Put a check under the appropriate number. 1 is outstanding. 2 is very good. 3 is good. 4 needs improvement. And 5, unacceptable, okay? I want you to say a prayer for 3 seconds for the Lord to give you honesty, objectivity, and accuracy, okay? There are 2 parts to the evaluation. 1 is performance evaluation. Are you producing results that are expected of you, okay? If you don't know what is expected of you, rate yourself anyway. Or put there, don't know what's expected of me.
but I've been producing some results. Okay?
No so, false humility.
Huh?
No false humility.
No false humility. Just rate yourself there, okay? And by the way, use a pencil. You might change your mind. And then work methods, okay? There are 5 methods. The first group is on management of tasks, how you approach your tasks. Are you organized? Are you sloppy, etc.? The second is analytical. Do you analyze things well enough? The third is interpersonal. Okay, are you a good people person? The fourth is supervisory. Do you supervise people well? The fifth is personal work characteristics. So let me just leave you with that. I'll give you 10 minutes. Then we'll process. Make sure you get your overall ratings. Just average. Just do a straight average. You know, you say, I establish objectives for me and my people. Let's say you rate yourself a 2, then you rate yourself a 3, and a 3, and a 2, and a 1. Just add those numbers and divide them by the number of questions, and that's your average, your overall rating management of tasks. And you can have a decimal on the overall, 2.7, okay? And then to get your overall rating, you just the sub-ratings and divide them by 5. World, companies weigh the methods differently. It depends what you want to emphasize. But for simplicity's sake, we just weigh them all equally. To get your overall, okay, to get your overall, I forgot to tell you, you have to average the work methods and multiply that by 0.5, and then the performance, add it to performance evaluation, which you will multiply by 0.5. Are you with me? Okay? To get your overall. Because your performance rating is 50%, your methods rating is 50%. So you get the two ratings, you add them, and divide them by 2. That's your overall performance rating. Yeah. Hindi ba 50% yung performance and 50% yung methods?
So you add this on, sir, divided by 5? No. You add this? Yeah.
Yeah. Times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Divide by 5 times 0.5 and you add it to 2 times 0.5. Right. The methods, okay? Let's say my methods are 2.5, 2.6, 1.2, 3.3, 4.4, okay? I add all of those up, divide them by 5, I will get my overall methods rating. Let's say my overall methods rating is 3, and my overall performance evaluation is 2, okay? I will add those and divide them by 2. It will give me my overall rating. Sorry, it's not very clear.
So the ideal number would be within 1 to 5.
Yeah, the ideal number, your rating is between 1 and 5. Your overall rating is between 1 to 5. Okay? We'll do better in the next seminar. All right. 10 minutes are up. Okay. 10 minutes are up. I'm talking about performance evaluation ratings, okay? How many of you rated yourselves between 4, I'm talking performance evaluation, between 4 and 5? Anybody? Between 4 and 5. Between 3 and 4. Performance evaluation between 3 and 4, okay? Performance evaluation between 2 and 3. Between 2 and 3. And performance evaluation between 1 and 2. Right? Work methods evaluation, overall rating, management of tasks between 4 and 5. Anybody? 4 and 5, management of tasks. Between 3 and 4, management of tasks. All right? Between 2 and 3, management of tasks. And between 1 and 2? All right? Analytical skills between 4 and 5, between 3 and 4, between 2 and 3. And between 1 and 2,
All right. And some of you are not participating. All right. Interpersonal skills, between 3 and 4. Between 3 and 4. Between 2 and 3. And between 1 and 2. All right. Supervisory skills, between 1 and 2. Between 1 and 2. Between 2 and 3. Between 3 and 4. All right. Work characteristics, between 1 and 2. Between 2 and 3. And between 3 and 4? Okay. Overall rating, between 1 and 2. Between 3 and 4. Between 2 and 3. Okay. What was your experience? Was it easy to rate yourself? Why was it hard? Let's talk performance evaluation. Why was it hard? What was the difficulty? Huh? To be real? Okay. No, honestly, what was the difficulty?
Being objective.
Being objective? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Were you sure what was expected of you? Okay. So some of you are not sure. Some of you are sure. See, if you don't know what's expected of you, how on earth can you rate yourself? Now, apply that to your people. If they don't know what is expected of them, how can you rate them? And if you don't rate them, how can you manage them? Okay. How do you know who's doing good? How do you know who's doing bad? Even shepherds have to call sheep. Who do you call? Okay. What about work methods evaluation? What was the experience? Easy, hard, medium? Hard? What was hard? Why hard? I'm glad I'm hearing hard. Yes. G.
Sometimes you think you're a certain way, but then you think, do they think that I'm not really? Yeah.
You know what? Performance evaluation is the toughest thing a manager does. Yeah. I hate it. When I have to evaluate my people, it's the time of year again. I hate it. Because it is agonizing, okay? But there are helps, and we'll deal with those helps as we go along. But you see, you need to evaluate performance. And I wanted you to go through to sweat it yourselves. Because your people need feedback, and they need truthful feedback. They need organized feedback, and they need feedback that will help them. Okay, will you raise your right hand? Everybody, raise your right hand. Tap the shoulder of the person to your right and tell him or her, you have the makings of a great people manager. Raise your left hand. Tap the shoulder person to your left and say, that's what my mother always said. 10-minute coffee break.